Well, Chandler Church, Mother's Day weekend is typically the time for us to recognize, to honor, and to express the love that we have for the mothers in our lives. So all of you moms out there, today we say thank you as we express our gratitude and our appreciation for you. We love you. Can you say amen, church? You know, moms really are super, aren't they? I mean, they clean faces, they bandage wounds, they wipe our behinds. Most importantly, they minister to our spirits, don't they? I mean, they encourage us constantly to expect more for us than we would ordinarily expect for ourselves. To hope for more, to desire more, to dream for more, and to press on for more than you and I would typically press on for ourselves. And today, Chandler Church, as we consider the many great mothers that surround us and have influenced us, perhaps one of the most underappreciated moms in all of Scripture has a life story that holds lessons for not only those among us who are moms today, but for all of us who would be followers of the Messiah. We find this amazing mom's story today as we turn in our Bibles to the scripture reading read so very well by my good friend Noah Balatget. And we turn to Matthew chapter 20, verse 23. As we go today in our Bibles to Matthew chapter 20, verse 23, to revisit the scripture reading read so well by Noah, we look at this amazing mom that is captured here in Scripture, Matthew chapter 20, verses 20 through 23. And as we read this incredible narrative of her interaction with Jesus, I'll be reading from the New King James Version today. If you are all there in your Bibles, please say amen. Matthew chapter 20, verses 20 to 23, and this is what the New King James translation says. The Bible tells us this in Matthew 20, verse 20 through 23. It says this, "Then the mother of who, everyone? James and John," or the King James says, New King James says, "of Zebedee's sons came to him," which is Jesus, "with her sons." And what did she do? What does the text say? It says she knelt down, meaning that this is prayer and this is supplication to the living God. This is the acknowledgement of Jesus Christ as sovereign. She kneels down before Jesus and she asks something from him. Verse 21, "And Jesus, our Lord, says, 'What do you wish?'" She, the mother of Zebedee's sons, she says to him, "Jesus, this is what I wish. Jesus, this is what I want more than anything in this world. I want you to grant, Jesus, that these two sons of mine, please, that they may sit one on your right hand and the other on the left in your kingdom." But Jesus, he pauses in verse 22 and he says something significant. He says, "Well, you do not know, Mom, what you're asking. And if you're asking for that, I need the men to understand that they need to be able to drink the cup that I am about to drink and be baptized with the baptism that I am going to be baptized with." And the boys, they respond to Jesus. What? What do they say? "We'll do it, Lord. We'll do it. We're united as a family in this." So verse 23, Jesus says, "You will indeed then drink my cup. And you will be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and to sit on my left is not mine to give, but it is for those whom it is prepared of by my Father." Can you say amen today, Chandler Church? Now, Chandler Church, as I, in my imagination, view and see the scenario that's unfolding, I parallel it with something that takes place in our present time. You know, all of us have, at one time or another, been to a youth sporting event flooded with supportive parents and the stereotypical soccer moms. And as you well know, at every one of those events, In the midst of all of those supportive parents and all of those stereotypical soccer moms, there's always one, isn't there? There's the psycho mom. And we use that term as a term of endearment. She's the mom that's there. She's just a little too overzealous, just a little too ostentatious, just a little too loud and excitable, all because her baby is out there, huh? And her love for her baby is so great. She's the only one there at the whole event honest enough to outwardly express just how badly she wants her children to do well in life. Now, psycho moms, we love you. Amen? We love you. Even though you challenge all the rest of us, you intimidate us, and you make us a little bit uncomfortable at the event at times, so much so that former Olympic racer and author Don Cardong said in one of his interviews that an overzealous parent is just one example of the kind of problem mom or dad who pops up at track meets and threatens to put a damper on the day. Now, I don't agree with Don. You psycho moms out there who we love, you don't put a damper on the day, but you challenge the rest of us because you're the most honest ones there. Amen? You're thinking and doing and expressing what all the rest of us are holding back. You want the same thing for your kids that we want for ours, but you are the most genuine and transparent parents at the event. And so it was, Chandler Church, for this mom in Matthew chapter 20, verse 20. She is identified in Scripture as the wife of Zebedee. Tradition tells us that this is Salome, the sister of Mary, the mother of Jesus. And this amazing mother was the mom of James and John, the ones who Jesus himself designated as the sons of thunder. And apparently, the lightning doesn't fall far from the sky. Are you with me? When he was calling them the sons of thunder, he may have been talking about mama. You follow me, Chandler Church? Because this mom, this good mother Zebedee, was the loudest, the boldest, the most brazen mom at the soccer match. She was the most honest, most genuine, most transparent parent in the presence of Jesus. And according to the inspired pen, she made people there uncomfortable that she would have the audacity to ask for what she asked for. And not because, according to the inspired pen, that what she asked for was a bad thing. Everyone else was put off and made uncomfortable because they were all thinking the same thing. And she was the only one bold enough to say it. She was the only one bold enough to ask what everyone else had on their mind. The only one with the spiritual audacity to hope for her children more than they would, could, or should ever deserve. Can you say amen today? For those of you who follow history and politics, you'll recall that on November 8, 2008, Senator Barack Obama of Illinois was elected president of the United States over Arizona Senator John McCain, the first ever African American to be elected to that office. But prior to that, on that same year, on July 15th of 2008, he released a book which served as the basis for his campaign slogan. It was entitled, "The Audacity of Hope." Can you say amen? And the major theme of that book was the espousal of his belief that here in America, in the land of the free and in the home of the brave, that you and I, no matter where we're from, what we're like, what we've done, we can still become whatever it is we believe to be possible. Do you believe that today? And I present this question here today as we consider the narrative of the good mother, Mrs. Zebedee, if you and I still believe that here in America we can become whatever we believe to be possible, do we here at Chandler Church still, as Christians in 2016, believe like the good mother, Mrs. Zebedee, that with God all things are possible? You see, when Jesus taught us to kneel and pray, like Mrs. Zebedee kneeled and prayed and made that request. In Luke chapter 11, when Jesus taught to you and I the Lord's Prayer, do you think that's pretty important, yes or no? Yes. And right after, in Luke's version of Jesus teaching the apostles and the disciples to pray, right after, he tells them a parable. And in that parable, he says there's a friend of a friend, and that friend, one night in his home, he runs out of bread. And when that friend runs out of bread to take care of his children, in the middle of the night, that friend goes over to his friend's house in the middle of the night and knocks on the door asking for assistance and means. And after Jesus tells them how to pray, he tells them this parable, and Jesus says that the whole point is this: as you and I communicate with God, I love how the New International Version puts it. Jesus says that that friend who runs out of food in the middle of the night and goes to the other friend's house and wakes them up, Jesus says, I tell you that even though he will not give up and give you bread because he's your friend, because of your shameless, what's that word? Audacity. He will get up and give you as much as you need. Can you say amen today, Mom? You know, moms, Jesus was telling us and you that we need not just to know how to pray, but we need to persevere in our prayers. Can you say amen? We give up way too easily because things don't go our way. And we forget that the God of our salvation is the God of all creation, and he is sovereign over every circumstance. Over our health, over our finances, over our marriage, over the futures of our children. And maybe it is that as we pray for our children, we don't pray as intensely or perseveringly enough as the good mother, Mrs. Zebedee. Maybe you and I don't pray with the feminine spiritual audacity that is found in the Scriptures. I mean, when you go through the Bible, you look at all these mighty mothers, mighty women of valor and faith. You think about the spiritual audacity of Mary in Luke chapter 7. You see, her status in society didn't warrant her the right to worship at the feet of Jesus. And as she walked into that conglomeration of Jesus Christ and all the religious leaders in that room, she knew that they knew that she was a prostitute. She knew that they would call her out and talk about her if she went to sit at the feet of Jesus, because she had no right. But with the spiritual audacity that she could muster, that says, I love Jesus so much, she walks to the feet of Jesus, and with her perfume and with her tears, she washes her feet. As she listened to the mumblings and the rumblings of the Pharisees who said, if this man really were a prophet, he would know who and what sort of person this woman is who is touching him, because she is a sinner. Praise God that Jesus Christ loves sinners. Can you say amen today? Maybe it is sometimes that you and I don't pray with the spiritual audacity of the Gentile woman in Matthew chapter 15, that mother who had a daughter who was demon-possessed. And because of her race and her ethnicity, she had no right to merit a momentary audience with a Jewish Messiah. She was a Gentile and considered by those people a dog. But her baby was at home with a demon trying to tear her life apart. So she presses through the apostles and the disciples, Peter, James, John, these sons of thunder, with spiritual audacity. And as she draws near to the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus, he parrots, he mimics all the racial epithets that she's been hearing and having hold her back in her life for the sake of showing his disciples that they needed to grow. And he says to that mother, I've only come and been sent to minister to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And the Bible tells us that after Jesus says that, again she speaks up and she demands, Jesus, help me. In her spiritual audacity, she calls out again. And Jesus then, for the sake of having his apostles and disciples grow, he parrots, he mimics. He doesn't feel this way. He parrots and mimics the racial epithets that she's been hearing in her life so that he can elicit from her the response that he knows is embedded in her heart. And Jesus says, it's not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dog. And then with the spiritual audacity of faith and love that she has for Jesus Christ, she responds to Jesus saying, yes, Lord, but I'm going to tell you this, Jesus, even the dogs eat from the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Hallelujah. And Jesus says, everybody stop. Everybody turn and look. Everybody see what it is I'm looking for. Spiritual audacity to believe that I am love, that I am grace, that I am mercy, that I am meaning for a life that is falling apart and crumbling. We need to pray with those prayers like that. Can you say amen? How about the spiritual audacity of the woman with an issue of blood for over 12 years, huh? Her condition and diagnosis from the doctors didn't designate that she should even waste Jesus' time. For 12 years, she had been interacting with all of the greatest physical minds of that time to say, how can you heal this or fix this or replace this or make this better? And all the physicians said, you cannot be healed. Can't do it. Sorry, we can't help you. But she pressed through the crowds. She pressed through the throng of people. With a spiritual audacity, she said, if I can just get close to Jesus. And as she makes her way through everyone else, not listening to all the voices around, not worrying about what everyone else thought because she had been to so many doctors and physicians, with the boldness of the feminine faith, brazen like a strong woman, she comes up and she grabs the garment of Jesus. Can you say amen? You don't tug on Superman's cape. You don't spit into the wind. You don't pull down the Lone Ranger's mask, and you don't mess with Jesus. Unless you have a spiritual audacity. It says, Jesus, you're the only one who can do for me what I need done in my life. Can you say amen today? And I don't know about you, Chandler Church, but on this Mother's Day weekend, I discern that there is something about the audacious, brazen boldness of the feminine faith that is found in the Bible that suggests to you and me that maybe we are not forceful enough in our lives of prayer, huh? In fact, Jesus himself tells us the same as it pertains to his life and his ministry here on earth. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 12, Jesus was talking and teaching to his disciples and apostles, and he said, from the days of John the Baptist, meaning the annunciation of his ministry as Messiah, until now, Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven suffers what? And the violent take it by what? Jesus is saying to us, we need to lay hold of him with hands of faith and love and trust by force. Are you with me today? Some of us need to get back to our inner city roots. When we see Jesus walking down the block, we need to get in his way, say, hey, Jesus, I'm Shane from the hood in Chicago, and this is a spiritual stick-up. Are you with me? Where do you think you're going? Where are you going, Jesus? I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. And Jesus, I know you're stronger than me. I know you're bigger than me. I know you're more powerful than me. But Jesus, I'm not going to let you go. And Jesus, I promise this. I promise. I'll be careful to give you all the honor, the praise, and the glory. You see, when we get violent with our faith, when we have a spiritual audacity, it refers to the forceful faith often needed to obtain the benefits of the kingdom. And by the way, the benefits of the kingdom is life and life eternal. Amen? Anyone have some kids or children in here that we need to get into the kingdom? Amen? I thank God for godly mothers like Murtis, like Mrs. Grace Radoyasich, physical mothers, spiritual mothers who minister to us, who wrestle over us in prayer. When we're out doing stuff that we should not be doing, acting ways we should not be acting, saying things we should not be saying, like a good mother, they're wrestling with Jesus on their knees, saying, they don't deserve it, Lord. But please, please, let them sit at the right and left hand of you in your kingdom. I praise God for godly mothers like that. Amen. When we don't have those kingdom blessings, the blessings that the kingdom seeks to bestow, James, the brother of Jesus, James, the son of thunder, James, the son of the good mother, Mrs. Zebedee, James tells us later in his ministry, you don't have it because you have not what? Some of us need to stop being afraid to ask God, God, I want to be rich. I'm not talking prosperity preaching. God, I want you to meet every provision that I need. Some of us need to start saying, God, I need you to bring me a husband. You can do it. You can do it. A godly. God, you need to make a way for me in ministry. God, you need to make a way for my family. God, you need to help me in this situation, in this circumstance, and be specific about it because God can do it. Because the good mother, Mrs. Zebedee, with spiritual audacity, in the front of everybody, says, Jesus, I want my boys to sit at your right and left hand side. What a mama, huh? What a mama. She wasn't afraid to ask, as James said, in front of everybody. Didn't care if she looked like psycho mom. Psycho moms, we love you. Didn't care. Her care was about her kids. And we thank God for all you good moms and grandmoms out there that care so much about us. That you pray us into the kingdom. God bless you. And as this good mother kneels, the Bible said, she kneels. She's praying. This is supplication before the living God. She kneels before Jesus. Jesus, through inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he tells the apostles, he tells all the writers, he tells us, get your iPhone out, capture this. Something important is happening here. The Gospel of John tells us there are so many great things that Jesus did, we can't even capture all of them. So when they put them in Scripture, it's because it's very important. Not random, not arbitrary, because it pertains to salvation itself. And because this event pertains to salvation, Mrs. White writes about it in depth in The Desire of Ages. And she tells us this in page 548. Auntie Ellen, a good spiritual mother in our church, she writes to us and she says that James and John, their mother was a follower of Jesus Christ. That she had actually ministered to Jesus freely of her substance. And Ellen tells us that with a mother's love and ambition for her sons, she covets for them the most honored place in the new kingdom. For this, Mom encouraged them to make the request. Mom even says, if you don't do it, I will. And the Bible tells us in Desire of Ages, page 548, together the mother and her sons, they come to Jesus asking that Jesus would grant a petition on which their hearts were set. Now check this out. Auntie Ellen says that Jesus bears tenderly with them, not rebuking their selfishness in preference above their brethren. Because Jesus, and this is what I love about our Christ, He reads her heart. He knows the depth of their attachment to Him. This doesn't come from a dark place. It's tainted with the selfishness of our human nature, but the intention is good. And she says that their love, the desire they have for Jesus and this position, is not a mere human affection. That means that the Spirit of God Himself is working on the good mother Zebedee's heart to inspire her to have her boys aspire to something greater. Hallelujah. And Auntie Ellen acknowledges, although it is a bit selfish, though defiled by the earthliness of its human channel, it is an outflowing from the what, everyone? The fountain of whose what? His own redeeming love. So check this out now, moms. Jesus is actually working in the heart of Mrs. Zebedee to encourage her, to inspire her kids, to aspire towards something greater. Hallelujah. It's Jesus that's working in her heart. And Jesus goes on. He will not rebuke. He will deepen and He will purify those desires to make them right. So Jesus says, if you want that position, are you willing to make the sacrifices that are commiserate with it? Are you able, guys, to drink of the cup that I will drink of and be baptized with the baptism that I am going to be baptized with? And they say, Jesus, we're down. We're going to do it. We support you. We follow you. We're in for the cause. Jesus says, you will then. You will. Now check this out and buckle up because this is where it gets deep. So Jesus says to them, but to sit on my right hand and my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is what, everyone? Prepared of my Father. Now let me ask you a question as we put our spiritual thinking caps on here for a moment, Chandler Church. How does God prepare people for the kingdom? What methodology does God use to prepare you and I for those seats in glory around the throne near to Jesus? Jesus, if you don't know, Chandler Church, told us and gave us the answer before He left us. Jesus said in John 14, verse 16, before I go, I will ask the Father, and He will give you another what? Advocate. And what will that advocate do? He's going to help you and be with you forever because you can't do it on your own. Do you know that today, Chandler Church? Have we figured that out yet today, Chandler Church? After 60-some years of preaching last generation theology and sinless perfection, have we matured yet to prepare ourselves for the second coming of Christ to actually know that we can't do it without the help of the Advocate, the Comforter, and the Spiriter? Have we come to that place yet? Have we come to the understanding that it's not by strength nor power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord? If we haven't understood it yet, Auntie Ellen helps us understand it as she points this out to us in The Desire of Ages, page 549, speaking still about the same interaction with the good mother, Mrs. Zebedee, and her reflection on what Jesus said and what it means. She says this. She says, in the kingdom of God, Position, not salvation, position is not gained through, what's that word? Do you know today God doesn't have any favorites? You know that, right? God's favorite is Jesus, and you have to place your faith in Jesus and what He did for you. Can you say amen? God does not give position in the kingdom according to Auntie Ellen through favoritism. She says it is not, what's that word? I'm not aware of any institution on the face of the earth where you get a position without earning it. How about you? But in heaven, Auntie Ellen says, you cannot gain position through being God's favorite, nor is it earned. You can't work for it. Nor is it received through an arbitrary bestowal. God's just randomly throwing stuff out. She says this, it is the result of what? Character. And she goes on to say, the crown and the thrones are the tokens of a condition attained. They are the tokens of self-conquest through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now let's put the sermon on pause for a minute, because here's what happens in the Adventist church. We read the wonderful, amazing words in the ministry of Auntie Ellen, and she sees what we see what she says, but we then interpret something else. So we see there that Auntie Ellen says position in the kingdom of God is gained by a result of character, and immediately we throw everything else and say, we throw it out, we say, I have to attain a better character, be a better person, better mom, better pastor, better Christian. I've got to work for it and strive and work, and when I attain that character, God will come for me and save me. And we totally miss what she just said a few verses before. She said it is not what? Earned. You know out there today you can earn a good character. You realize that, right? Through hard work, dedication, commitment, focusing your mind and your will, you can earn a good character. You can do that. But you can't earn anything enough that merits you a place next to Jesus Christ. The character she is referring to is the character of Jesus Christ. Freely given to you as Jesus lives inside of you and does through you what you cannot do for yourself. Are you following me? This is what Paul tells us in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, that we still don't get. Nevertheless, it is not I who live, but Jesus Christ is living and doing in me. All these good things you see me doing, it's like the moon reflecting the light of the sun. It has no light of its own. I'm dead to self, and the Spirit of God is alive inside me. It's a miracle. And all you moms out there should know better than any of us what it's like to have a life inside of you. And so Auntie Ellen tells us the crown and the throne are tokens of a condition attained. This is the character she's talking about. It's a condition you attain. And how do you attain it? By hard work, by striving, by disciplining, by dieting? She says no, by self-conquest through our Lord Jesus Christ. Meaning, we've got to get over ourselves. Both our bad and our good. Are you with me? This is why Jesus, beloved, had such a big problem with the Pharisees. They couldn't get over themselves. And they thought they were good enough to merit a position next to Jesus on the throne. And Jesus told them, I tell you surely, in that day there will be those from the east and the west who come and sit down at the table, and you'll be outside with weeping and gnashing of teeth. But just in case you aren't sure, Auntie Ellen tells us clearly how we attain this self-conquest through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. She makes it clear as day, so that we can't take it out of its context and generate a whole different type of theology based upon one line, one sentence, or one word like character. She says this, the one who stands or sits nearest to Jesus Christ in that day will be he or she on this earth who has drunk most deeply of the what? Of the what? Of the what? It's not your character. It's the character of Jesus Christ in your life. Are you with me today? Please say amen. The spirit of Jesus' love. And by the way, Paul tells us that love is the fulfillment of the what, Chandler Church? Law. The one who sits next to Jesus is not one who's done and done and done and done. It's one who has died to selfishness and become love. Can you say amen today? A love like a mother that does not vaunt itself. A love like a mother that does not puff itself up. A love like a mother that does not seek her own. It's not easily provoked and it thinks no evil towards any around it. A love like the love of God. And I want that love in my heart. Can you say amen today? Auntie Ellen says, if we want to sit at the right hand and the left, like it was the desire of the good mother, Mrs. Zebedee, for her sons, that we need to drink freely from the water of the Spirit of Jesus Christ's love. It's a condition attained that we can't work of on our own. We can only receive it. Anybody here watch Survivor Man? Anybody watch that show? Anybody watch that Bear Grylls guy when they go into the wilderness for quite some time and they're without water and they show us all the nasty things they eat and drink to survive? You realize that, right? You see that show? I watch it sometimes and I'm baffled by the things that man puts in his mouth. You know what I'm talking about, right? Well, that's not surviving. You're on death's door, man. Don't do that. And there's times where he talks about the importance of having something to drink. And he talks about if you're out in the wilderness and sometimes you have to recycle your own bodily fluids. And I think, And you know we can't survive like that, right? You know if you do that, your kidneys would eventually fail. You know that, right? In order for us to hydrate ourselves to survive and have life, just like the law of human existence, we have to find substance or liquid outside ourselves to fulfill us. And so Jesus says in John chapter 7, verse 38, that anyone who believes in me, and in the Greek it could say anyone who believes on me, may come and drink. For the scriptures declare that rivers of living water will then flow from where? From inside us. That's the Spirit of God. Are you with me today? You see, the good mother Zebedee, she just wanted a position for her sons, but she unlocked the science of salvation by her great faith, and Jesus breaks it down. And by the way, in case you aren't sure, that river of living water that we need to drink from to attain a condition that merits us the right to sit next to Jesus, we're found and told in the very next verse, in John 7, verse 39, that when Jesus talked about those rivers of living water, he spoke of the what? The what, everyone? The Spirit. Can you say amen today? Do you know you need that Spirit more than the air that you breathe? You know that today? See, the Old Testament Israelites, they neglected God in the wilderness. The New Testament Pharisees and Sadducees, they rejected Jesus Christ in their very midst. And now the New Testament church that is anxiously anticipating the second coming of Christ, we are delinquent in our connection with the Spirit of the living God. Do you hear me today, folk? And the Spirit, according to John, was not yet given to the people of that day because everything else but Jesus was being glorified. Do you see it there in the Word of God? When we lift up the Lord Jesus Christ, moms, to our kids, when we lift up the Lord Jesus Christ, dads, to our wives, when we lift up the Lord Jesus Christ, Adventist Church, to the world, God is going to pour out the Spirit upon us in such great measure that we won't even know what to do with ourselves. God is getting ready to do something great, and the good mother, Mrs. Zebedee, she unlocks for us today, the children of Abraham, that which God seeks to do for us. And today, beloved, today moms, today dads, today church, today kids, if we want that Spirit in our lives, Jesus tells us that all of us who don't quite have it right, if we are evil and we know how to give gifts to our children, how much more will our Father in heaven, He'll give the Holy Spirit to those who do what? What do they have to do? See, the good mother, Mrs. Zebedee, with spiritual audacity, not caring what everyone else thought around her, she gave glory and honor to Jesus, kneeling before Him, believing that the Lord Jesus Christ could do above and beyond what she could think or even imagine. But she could imagine for her sons to be at His right and His left-hand side. And you know what she does, Chandler Church? You know what she does? Moms and dads, like a good mother, she asks. She asks. Today, Chandler Church, I ask that our moms develop in their walk of faith, grow in their spirituality. As much as we love and appreciate you for the amazing things you've done, you need to grow, I need to grow, we all need to grow. Can you say amen today? And one thing we learn from the narrative of the good mother, Mrs. Zebedee, is that good moms want their kids in the kingdom. Can you say amen today? Amen. To all you good moms out there, we thank you, we love you, we appreciate you, we adore you. We say thank you for sticking with us as we were not all that we should be. But all of us need to grow in our grace and our walk of faith together. Secondly, we know that good moms, they want, most importantly, the kingdom in their kids. Are you with me today? It's one thing to want our kids in the kingdom, but moms, we've got to get this salvation science down right. Amen? Like my dear sister Vanessa, today, who was in the waters of baptism, in her testimony said, I was afraid to get baptized because I thought I had to be perfect for God. We've got to teach our kids about God the right way. Can you say amen? And teach our kids that God wants to give them power and strength by coming into their life and helping them live, not of their own strength, but of strength they do not have. And lastly, each and every day, each and every night, moms, we need to continue, both physical and spiritual, Sister Grace, continue like you do each and every Wednesday at prayer meeting. God bless you. Lead us, your kids, to the feet of Jesus. Can you say amen? Moms, keep taking us there. Keep walking us to Him. Keep reminding us that it's not simply about a day or a way to eat or dress, but He is the source of life and power and health and well-being itself. Hallelujah. Like the good mother, Mrs. Zebedee, moms, please continue to take us to Jesus. Because with the spiritual audacity you can muster, you help us to understand that with a great audacious love, God, that He allowed His Son to die on an old rugged cross, not just for our sins, Austin, past and present, but Vanessa, for all the sins that we will commit in the future, if we continue to have a spiritual stick-up and say, Jesus, I will not let you go until you bless me. Jesus, I'll continue to cling until I see you face to face to that old rugged cross. Can you say amen today?